This worship service is a participatory service, and tonight you will have opportunity to participate. We want to do more than just talk about God in this place. We want to experience God and have God move in among us and through us. And so we always try to give opportunity for that to happen. And I want to begin tonight in a kind of solitary participatory moment. And it's simply this. Picture a time when you were really, really dirty. Physically filthy. Can you picture it? Can you feel that time? Can you just feel it? Does anybody want to help me describe it? What's it like? What was it like to be really dirty?
Bogged down.
Bogged down. Yeah. Anybody else? Stinky. Stinky. All right. There's honesty. All right. Excuse me? Uncomfortable.
Embarrassing.
Embarrassing. Good. What else?
Can't wait to get clean.
Have you ever had that moment? And if you've been greasy working on a car, if you've been out in the dust, you know, when you're sweating and the dust kicks up, and you don't even want to touch yourself because you're so dirty, and you feel like when you move, things crack. You know, it's almost like a cartoon. You've got that dirt covering, and as you bend and move, you can almost just feel it cracking around you. It's not comfortable, and we do find ourselves kind of walking. We just don't want to touch anything, including ourselves. Filthy, dirty. I don't want to stay there too long, but feel that for a moment, what it's like to just be in that place. And then, let's take a moment to think about the steaming hot shower that comes after the dirty. How does it feel to get cleaned up? Sue, you said, can't wait to get cleaned up when you're in that place, right? But there's this almost, I don't want to oversell this, but there's almost this, when you're really filthy and you hit the shower, it's almost this liberating kind of thing, you know, as the cakiness falls off of you. And there's this freeing moment and flexibility comes back, you know, and you feel like you can move again and you can touch again and you can interact with others again because you don't stink anymore. You can be around other people. Getting cleaned up can make us feel energized and freshed and freed. There's something about getting clean after being dirty that is very, very good. Imagine how dirty the feet of a first century Israelite at the end of the day could be. Now, we've all seen our kids come home after a day of playing in flip-flops or sandals, right? And they have the dirt lines on their feet, and actually they're clean lines, you know, where the color of their natural feet is. And you can see the dirt, and you can see the clean, and the contrast is just amazing. It's disgusting, you know, the feet when they come in. Add to that, to the first century Israelite, the dust of all day in sandals in a dusty place. And even when they went indoors, most of the time, it was dirt floors anyway. And so there was no really like clean place. And as one graphically described it, every once in a while there's an accidental step into some camel poo. And you have filthy feet. Filthy. That's a great mental image, right? Let me make it a little worse before I make it better. When they sit down to dinner, Leonardo da Vinci doesn't have it quite right in The Last Supper. Scholars tell us that they didn't sit in chairs at a table. They sat at a table that was probably a foot off the ground. And they sat on pillows. And so when you sat down to eat, your food, your feet, and your face were all in close proximity. And so in addition to washing your hands, as mom and dad tell us to do today, foot washing was an important part of the hygiene. You know, nobody wanted Bartholomew's feet right here while sharing dinner. And so it was important that there was a place to get your feet washed before the meal. But it was a disgusting job. It was such a bad job that, you know, Jesus' disciples, for the most part, were blue-collar working guys. They were fishermen. I mean, these guys cleaned fish, and they probably never cleaned feet. Because fishermen didn't do those things. The foot washing was done by the lowest of the low slaves. Bottom of the rung on the social ladder. That's who got that wonderful job. And so Jesus and the disciples come to the Passover meal. They're ready to celebrate together, and they need their feet washed, and there's nobody there to do it. Can you relate? It's amazing how when the dishes need to be cleared from the table and the dishes need to be washed, there's nobody to do it. It's amazing how in the office, when the toner needs to be changed in the copier, people can go all day without needing a copy because they don't want to be the ones to change the toner. It's amazing how when there's something dirty to do, there seems no one to do it. Did you guys come up? What's the dirty chore? Does anybody want to share? What was your disgusting chore that you have to do? Yeah, Sue. Clean up the dog. Oh, clean up after the dog. Anybody else? I know you don't all talk about the question. That's okay. They're just meant to help. But did anybody else? Yeah, Jen.
We decided that if something needs to be done, you just do it.
You just do it.
Right.
Okay.
Somebody has to do it.
Right. And there are times when that's exactly the case. And you know, I think in that moment, that's where Jesus was. You know, there's 13 guys in this room, and none of them are the lowest of the low slaves. There's nobody there to do this work. But the basin and towel are there. Did you notice that in the scripture lesson? Jesus doesn't have to go look for the basin and the towel. The guy who sets up the Passover meal for the disciples sets it up so that they can have their feet washed. He just didn't provide anybody to do it. And so the disciples and Jesus are there, and there's no one to do the job. Maybe because Jesus didn't believe in that kind of social ranking. To Jesus, everybody in that room, all 13 of them, are equal. Equal in the eyes of God, all children of God, all loved by God, all of infinite value and worth, just like Jesus. There was dirty work to be done, and no one to do it. I get a kick. I showed you that video clip of the dirty jobs just because I like it. I've seen that show only a few times, but I always enjoy it. It seems to be fun to watch somebody else do dirty work. And Mike Rowe, who's the host of that show, how he has fun doing the things he does, I'm not really sure, but he has a blast. And on his website, he has a blog of top 10 lists, and I just want to share one with you. These are the top 10 smelliest places he's ever been. Number 10 is the back of a State Department of Transportation roadkill recovery truck. Yeah, great, right? It gets better. Number 9, the Coyote, Texas turkey farm, specifically the liquid turkey compost pile. I don't even want to know what that is. A dairy farm in Erie, Pennsylvania. Number 7, the grease pit at Madison Elementary School. That's worse than the dairy farm. That's interesting. and then number 6, Eric Pollock's pig nursery. Number 5, the trommel, a food separation device at the San Francisco dump. Bio Oregon, a fish recycling plant. I don't know how you recycle fish, but somebody does that. Number 3, Bracken Cave, a home of 40 million bats. This one may be my favorite. The lift pump chamber of the San Francisco Waste Treatment Center. And number 1, the bug room of Skulls Unlimited International. And I need to look that up because I don't know what that one is, but that's the smelliest place that he says that he has been. Dirty work. Work that needs to be done, and there's nobody to do it. Jesus goes and grabs the basin and grabs a towel and starts washing the disciples' feet. And then he comes to Peter. I like Peter probably because I can relate to Peter. Every time Peter gets himself in trouble, I think, I'd have said that too. And this is one of those times. Peter doesn't want his feet washed by Jesus. For me, there's two reasons. One, because this is out of whack. Jesus shouldn't be doing this. My teacher, the guy who has brought me closer to God, who's made God important in my life, should not be the one doing the work of the lowest of the low slave. Jesus shouldn't have to do this work. That's reason number one. Reason number two for me is don't touch my feet. Stay away from my feet. I don't want them touched. I don't like them. You know, I don't want anybody messing with them. And so Peter refuses. Peter refuses to have his feet washed, and Jesus comes back with this. If I don't wash you, you can't be part of what I'm doing. I don't know, this line leapt out at me. Most times when I read this story, I go all the way to the end. When Jesus says, I've washed you, now you go and wash one another's feet. But wait a second. Before that command is this command to be washed. Jesus says, if I don't wash you, if you don't let me wash you, you can't be part of what I'm doing. That's important stuff. If you don't let me wash you, if I don't wash you, you can't be part of what I'm doing. This is a hard one for me. But I want to give you an opportunity to have your feet washed and wash one another's feet. And I know some of you are going, oh no. Because that's what I do every time it comes up in church too. I don't like it. I really don't. And I hate being the one to make you do it, and I'm not going to make you do it. But I'm going to ask you to do it. Because it is uncomfortable. And I'll tell you, I mean, I'm dead serious when I say my answer to Jesus would be, don't touch my feet. Get away from me. I don't wear sandals or flip-flops because I don't want anybody seeing them. That's the whole idea, you know? And so this is awkward and hard, and it's difficult. But I want you to take an opportunity to try and do this for a reason. And I want you to think about this as it happens. Which is harder for you? Having your feet washed or washing someone else's feet? Which one's harder? As you're doing it, think about that just for a moment. So, there's four basins up here. And I would like you guys to get in four groups. I told you it's a participatory service. It's kind of fun. It might be miserable for a moment. And I'd like you to consider this. And I'm sorry. I'm apologizing up front. But I want you to be a part of this. And so let's try and get it. Can we try and get in the groups of, there's about 20, I don't know, is there about 20 of us here? 3, 7, yeah, about 20. So try and get in groups of about 5. And you may want to be with your family, or you may not want to be with your family. So let's see what we can do. And can I have 4 people come up and get basins? Please. Is it? They've been out long? They've been out a long time. I thought they would warm up eventually. not so good, huh? Yeah, that might be easier. I didn't even think of that. And just you can just pour water over top and dry them. You don't have to scrub them or anything. Oh, that's a problem. He's biting his lip. Still have one group finishing up. Yeah, the water was cold. I'm really sorry. I expected the room to heat it up a little bit, but it was like an hour ago we put it out, so apparently it got it colder instead of warmer. I forgot about the concrete floor that it's sitting on. So as we're finishing up, let me just take a really quick informal poll. Who found washing more uncomfortable than being washed? Okay? Who found being washed more uncomfortable than washing? Yeah. Most of us are Peter, right? Most of us are Peter. Many of us will say it's far more uncomfortable to be washed than it is to do the washing. And I think that's true of a lot of us in the church. We're good at serving, right? I mean, you guys in this room are really good at meeting the needs of the people around you. You're really good at finding the places where people have a need. You serve the church. You teach in Sunday school. You lead the youth ministry. You go on mission trips. You visit those who are sick. You provide meals for people who can't feed themselves. You do babysitting and all kinds of things that you can do to help people in need. You guys serve at work. You do the things that need to be done humbly. You don't do it for the money. You do it because it's what needs to be done, and you serve and go above and beyond very often. You serve at home. You serve your kids, your parents, your spouse, your neighbors, and your friends. Most of us are good at serving, and a lot of us are lousy at being served. And the problem with that is often we transfer that up onto God, and we say, God, no thank you, I'll keep my dirt. Honestly, God, no thank you, I don't need to be washed. I'll take care of it. I'll keep it. I'll do it myself. That's what we've been taught all of our lives, isn't it? That we clean up our own messes. And so it's a bit counterintuitive to say, God, clean up my mess. And yet Jesus says, I've got a basin and a towel. And if I don't wash you, you can't be part of what I'm doing. Those are powerful words. If I don't wash you, you can't be part of what I'm doing. And so the big question tonight is simply this. What dirt are you hiding from God? What are you trying to clean up on your own? What are you trying to hide and needs to go to Him? And what's it going to take to get you to sit there beside Peter and give Jesus your feet and let Him clean you up? Let's pray together. God, I just thank You so much, even for the uncomfortable stuff. And I thank You that in something even as mundane as hygiene, You teach us. God, help us to continue to find the ways in which You are speaking to us tonight and through the week ahead. Move us. Move us to be Your servants, to submit to You, to allow You to clean us, and then send us forth to serve. All this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.